Let's take our Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13. We are starting a new series tonight. And the title and theme of the next number of messages is going to be, I am blessed. I am blessed. You know, there's something about, I think, this time of year that kind of draws our attention just to how blessed we are. How blessed we are as Christians. Deuteronomy chapter 16, starting in verse 13, we're going to read down through verse 15, is a short description of the Feast of Tabernacles that the children of Israel would have. And they would have it during this time of year. And so it says in Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 13, "Thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. After that, thou hast gathered in thy corn and thy wine, and thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant, and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt surely rejoice." But let's begin with prayer. Lord, we pray now for this time as we are spending time in your word, studying your word, and we're asking that your Holy Spirit would speak to us. And so tonight we take this service and we place it into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The Feast of Tabernacles, in Hebrew it's called Sukkot, and it was a 7-day feast. So for 7 days they would spend time commemorating the wilderness wandering. That was the point of this feast. It was a time for them as a nation to remember that God had delivered them from Egypt and brought them to the promised land, and that they went through the wilderness. And so what they would do is they would remember that time where they had dwelt in tents in the wilderness. They didn't have a permanent place because God was moving them. And so in those years of wilderness wandering, they lived in tents that they would put up, and when they stayed, and then they would take them down to travel as they followed the Lord. And so during the Feast of Tabernacles, for these 7 days, they would make these booths that they would put up. And so they had some requirements for them. They had to have at least 3 walls on these booths and these temporary tents. It had to be covered by natural vegetation, and the rule is something that has grown and that was cut down. So they would take like palm branches or pine branches, depending on where they were, and they would cover their dwelling place with those. And it was supposed to be enough covering that it wouldn't let it was supposed to be able to let the rain in, right? It was that enough covering so that it would let rain in, sparse enough, and also they wanted to be able to see the stars through these coverings. And so the idea is they would take these shelters and they would make them, even as they had their permanent dwelling places, yet next to those they would construct these, and then for those 7 days they would dwell in those. The letter of the law, as they would later develop this, said that you have to at least eat your meals out in these booths. But the whole like spirit of this feast is that in this time period was that you would spend as much time as possible out there in that booth and in that temporary dwelling place. Because that was what it was supposed to remind them of living in there and living in those places. And so this 7-day Feast of Tabernacles is supposed to be about spending a lot of time with your family in this temporary place. Right, in this place that's not as comfortable as your house. It's not as nice as your house. Now, they do spend time decorating these and making them comfortable, but, it, you know, it's not your house. And the point of all of this is, though, as he points out, you are to remember what God has done for you. It's this place and this time of remembering how blessed they were as a nation, that God had looked down on them in their bondage in Egypt, and God blessed them. And God said, I will raise up a deliverer. I will raise up Moses. Moses will bring you out, and he will bring you to the land that I promised to your fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And they had this journey where God showed them over and over how blessed they were as a people, how he would provide for them and take care of them. God would guide them. When they had needs, God met those needs. God provided quail and manna. He provided water from a rock. And God did so many things for them in this wilderness wandering. And now God said, okay, every fall, and this year it's October 9th through the 16th, so it starts next Sunday and goes for a week. It says, every fall, you remember this. And you make this booth, and you put these poles in the ground, and you put some walls on it, and you cover it with these branches, and then you live out there, and you spend time out there as a family, eating your meals out there, spending time remembering what God has done for you, and specifically remembering that God has blessed you with all your increase, all that God has done for you. And they say, actually, that our time of Thanksgiving, our Thanksgiving holiday, the original one by the pilgrims, some people think that it was based on this Feast of Tabernacles, that they had an understanding of this, the pilgrims did, and so they kind of modeled it after that a little bit. But we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, you know, in a little less than 2 months, the end of November. And it's this tradition that we have that involves a lot of food, right? It's a lot of food and, you know, turkey and ham, if you don't like turkey like I don't, or, you know, stuffing and all the good stuff, you know, all the delicious food that's there at Thanksgiving, and then the desserts that follow. And we have this tradition where we get together as families and we just eat a lot of food. But it's not just that, right? It's also this time of Thanksgiving, where as Christians, we are thankful to God. And I like to remind myself of this and point this out, that the whole world celebrates Thanksgiving, right? People who have atheists, they celebrate Thanksgiving and they're thankful to, I don't know, luck or chance or I don't know, whatever they're thankful for. But we are specifically thankful to our God for all of this. And that was the original intention of this. And even as President Lincoln, and I read this address, I believe last year, he talked about in his address where he set it in place that it would be in the end of November at this specific date. He talked in this address about how there was a lot of things going on in America at the time, right? A lot of fighting that was going on, but also he pointed out how much God had blessed them. And he said, even in the midst of all of this, we need to set aside time to thank our God for all that he has done for us. And we need that too. We need that time where we remember how blessed we are as a people. In all that God has done for us, we are so blessed. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. What a great ending to that verse, that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And that'll kind of be our theme verse as we go through this. Blessed with all spiritual blessings. One of the classic symbols, I guess, or pictures of Thanksgiving is the cornucopia. You know, it's that like basket that's kind of woven in the shape of a horn to make a very impractical basket for holding things. But I guess that's why everything's spilling out of it, right? You see every picture and everything's coming out of the basket. It came originally from like Roman and Greek mythology and whatever, but it's come to us today as this symbol of Thanksgiving, right? It's this picture of how, of the abundance that we have. We have so much that and Thanksgiving is the time where we kind of look at all that, right? The harvest has been brought in and there's so much food that we have and so many other things. Maybe a more updated version would be a refrigerator that's so full you can't close it, right? And we've probably all been there. You know, you go to the store and you get so much stuff that you try and put it in there and you're like, oh, no, I can't. Well, we got to throw out some leftovers, you know? All those Tupperware that are in the back of the fridge that kind of get pushed back there. You got to clear it out. I mean, that would probably be a modern version of this, right? That we just have so much that God has blessed us with. And in America, we are blessed with just an abundance, with all that we could want. But this series isn't about that sort of picture. It's not that we have an overflowing refrigerator or an overflowing driveway or a house that's filled with things, or all of that, or a wallet that's overflowing, or an investment portfolio that's probably not right now, but overflowing, and all those things, right? It's not even about how much we have in family and in friends. It's about how we are blessed in far greater ways than that, and in far deeper ways, far more lasting ways than all the things that we see around us. Because it's not about how we're blessed as Americans. And sometimes that is kind of our focus. We are blessed as Americans with so much, with the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech, and the abundance that we have, the wealth that we have in America. We are blessed as Americans, but I don't want this series to be about I am blessed as an American. I want it to be I am blessed as a Christian.
Amen.
With all the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. And we rejoice in every blessing. Don't get me wrong. Every blessing that God gives to us, we rejoice and we thank God for that. But what about when those things aren't there? What about when those things are gone? And we look around and we say, well, I don't have an overabundance of money or even family and friends around me or all of these other things. What about when those things are gone? Can we still say, I am blessed? And you know what? Job found this out, didn't he? We're not going to look at the story of Job, but Job had everything taken away from him. And he still said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when we get to that point, and even if we never do, but we can just kind of imagine, if all of that was gone, can we still say, I am blessed? And we can, as a Christian, because God has blessed us in ways beyond just what we experience as Americans and as Christians who live in this country. And so as we look ahead to Thanksgiving and we kind of enjoy all the things that go with the fall, right? And it's starting to feel like fall outside, you know, and it's the crisp air and the everything pumpkin spice, you know, if that's your thing, you know, the plaid and the apple picking and apple pies, pumpkin pies, all the food that we associate with this time period. As we think about all of that, I'm asking God in this time to give us really a deep appreciation for how blessed we are as Christians. The spiritual blessings that God has given to us. Not just because my fridge is full, not just because I have overflowing abundance as an American, but as a Christian, the spiritual blessings. And so tonight, in this kind of introductory message, I want us to get an understanding of what we mean when we say, I am blessed. What that means to us. So there's three things it means. Number one, when we say I am blessed, we're saying I believe that God is good. That's what we're saying. We're saying I believe that God is good. So turn to James chapter 1 with me. Turn to James chapter 1. And verse 17. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, every once in a while you come across something that makes you say, or you go, I need to know where that came from. Maybe it's like a recipe, you know, and you have you eat something and you go, oh, that was good. I need that recipe. Or I need to know what ingredient was in there, like that special ingredient that they added that made this so good. It's like, I need to know where that came from. Or you use a tool or something and you're like, whoa, this is handy. I need to know who sells this, right? Who makes this tool? Where can I buy this tool? You know, there's a lot of times where we have that time where we're like, ooh, I need to know where this came from. Well, James is like, listen, I know where all the blessings of God come from. He traced it back to their source and he says, every good gift and every perfect gift, all the blessings we receive, James says, I know where they came from. He says, they're from above. And they cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we can do that. We can trace all the blessings in our life back to one source.
Amen.
And that's God.
Amen.
The goodness of God, where God has been so good to us. And we find, as we spend time being thankful and understanding that we are blessed, we find that God is a good God. And God has been good to us.
Amen.
In all that he is and all that he does. And we understand that those two things are connected. Right, God is good in all that he does because he is good in all that he is. The good nature of God means that everything that God does toward us is good. All the actions that he takes, all the decisions that he makes, all of those are good. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God. It says in Psalm 119 and verse 68, "Thou art good and doest good." And it comes down to, we're blessed because God is good. No other reason. It's not that we've earned it, that we deserve it, that we are good enough to be blessed. It's that God is so good that he looks down and says, "I will bless my people and I will give to them." So when we say, "I am blessed," we're saying, I believe that God is good, right? That's the foundation. And so when we say that, "I am blessed," let's remember that. We're not saying that we are good or that you know, circumstances are fine. We're saying, "I am blessed because God is good." Number two, when we say, "I am blessed," we're saying that I believe that my life is good. I'm believing that my life is good. In 1994, there were two brothers named Bert and John Jacobs, and they were in a kind of unique business. They were selling T-shirts, custom T-shirts that they made up in Boston. So they had a van that they used, an old van, and they would drive around and find where people were. And then they would open the doors of their van and try and sell their custom T-shirts. And business wasn't going so well for them. They just weren't doing that well, making a lot of money. But it just so happened that one day these brothers were just having a random conversation about how the media portrays everything as doom and gloom, right? And how depressing the news is, right? And it's all tragedies and all the things that are going wrong, right? All that sensational news that gets people attention. And they were just talking about how just depressing it was. And then they said, "Well, we need to be like, spread a message of optimism." And they came up with a three-word slogan, which was, "Life is good." And they started putting that on their T-shirts. And you've probably seen this before, right? These type of T-shirts. It says, "Life is good." And it's got the little stick figure with the big smile, right? The big face and the big smile. They just started selling these T-shirts and it took off, right? Now they've got quite the business. And probably we've seen all those T-shirts. We probably owned some of those T-shirts at some point, right? Well, that was their message. And they said, "We're trying to spread this message of optimism by saying that life is good and that there's, you know, if you just watch for it, there's so many opportunities that you can have in life." And, you know, we look at our life and we say, "I am blessed." And when we say that, we are saying that our life is good because of God, right? Not because of opportunities that we have or some misguided optimism, but if we can say that God is good, then we know that because of God, our life is good. Amen. And, you know, that is a nice slogan, and it's nice to say that life is good, but what about when it isn't? I mean, what about when life is bad? And, you know, there is bad. And there is things that are times in our life where we go through things and we say, "Well, life really isn't good. You know, I'm hurting. I'm discouraged." And there are times where life just is, in our words, bad. Where we're spending time crying, and there's things in our life that are not joyful for us. And my point isn't just for you to be like, "Well, cheer up," you know, I don't know, just put a smile on your face and everything's fine and it's not that bad and things will get better. But it's really to just try and put into words that deep belief that we have as Christians, where even when life is bad and things are hard and times are tough, that we still have this deep understanding that the spiritual blessings Christ has given to me are not gone. That the ways Jesus Christ has blessed me, the spiritual blessings I have in Christ Jesus are still there. And even though life, I'm struggling with different things, I understand that while those are there, yet I still have so many blessings that God has given to me. And even though other things are not good, my life is still good. Amen. Because of the spiritual blessing, amen, that Jesus Christ has given to me. And so we say, "I am blessed." And we're looking forward to, sometimes it's just looking forward to the future, knowing that there is coming a time where he will wipe all tears from my eyes. Amen. And that I will have that eternity. And even though everything else in life is taken away, that is still there. Amen. And who Jesus Christ is still there. My relationship with God is still there. And I'm still blessed, even when life is hard. And there's times where we can say life is good, and we can say that with a smile, and there's other times where we have to say, life is good, but I have to say that through tears and with a lot of questions that I cannot answer, but I have this deep belief that my life is better with Christ than without Him. Amen. That because I have Jesus Christ, my life is good. Because my life is, it could be so much worse. I could have everything in my life fine and yet be on my way to hell without Jesus Christ. I could live in a mansion and have everything my heart desires, but without Christ, my life would not be good. Amen. And so we come down to it and say, you know what? I am blessed, and my life is good because I have Jesus Christ. And even in those times where everything else is gone, if I still have Jesus Christ, I can say, I am blessed. I am blessed, and my life is good because I have Jesus Christ. So when we say I am blessed, we're saying, well, I believe that God is good. And because I believe God is good, I believe my life is good. Yeah. It's better with Jesus Christ than it would be without Him. But then number three, when we say I am blessed, we're saying I believe that a thankful heart is good. That a thankful heart is exactly what I need. Amen. That it's good for me to recognize and to remember the blessings of God. And we're going to go back to Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23. This is another passage regarding the Feast of Tabernacles, as God was giving them this instruction. Leviticus chapter 23. And so God starts this, this feast for them, this Feast of Tabernacles. And they were to continue this on even after they had a permanent dwelling place. Even though they had nice houses to live in, yet they were still to take this week, these 7 days, and spend them outside in these less nice places. And in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 41, here's why. He says, "Ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the seventh month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelite born shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." And Moses declared unto the children of Israel the feasts of the Lord. And he says, verse 43, here's why. "That your generations may know." He said, this is a remembrance. This is a time for you to remember generations on. Not just the generation that experienced it, that knew what it was like to live in these sort of temporary houses as they moved along. But it was the generations to follow. It was to be this remembrance, a remembrance of the promises of God, that the promise God had made to them way back with Abraham and then with Isaac and with Jacob, and that as they were in bondage in Egypt, God had remembered that promise. He heard their cries and He said, "I remember the promise I make." And He fulfilled that promise. And God said, "You remember this. You always remember to be thankful for the goodness of God." Amen. And the fulfilled promises of God. And there's a reason. There's a reason God tells us to remember, that God told them to remember. Because when we remember and we have that thankful heart, that heart of remembrance, it does something for us. It's revolutionary when we have a thankful heart. It changes. Amen. It changes the attitude that we have. And if you want to change your attitude and your perspective, then make yourself be thankful. Sometimes we have to, right? Sometimes it doesn't come naturally. It's like us having to sit down and go, okay, I will be thankful. I will not like it, but I will do it. I will remind myself of what God has done for me. But it changes. It changes our attitude. And it changes our complaining into rejoicing. When we're sitting complaining about how life is, and then we say, no, I'm going to be thankful. All of a sudden, we start rejoicing in all that God has given to us. And all that God has blessed us with, it changes us from being selfish, and it changes that into service. When we're so focused on getting things for ourselves and hoarding things, and then we say, I'm so thankful, and we see how much God has blessed us with, it changes that from, I got to get more, to, well, I can give, and I can live for God, and I can do so much for the one who has done so much for me. It also changes us from bitterness into love. And then there's times where we can get angry at God. We can be bitter against what God has allowed. But when we turn our hearts to thankfulness and we choose to remember, it takes away that anger and that bitterness and it changes it into love. Just being so grateful for God and who He is and how much God loves us and how much we love him because he first loved us. And God wants us to remember. God wants us to take these times, and this is a good time of year to do that, and say, I'm going to be thankful and remember what God has done. And when we say, I am blessed, we're saying, I believe that it's good for me to have a thankful heart, that it does great things for my life if I choose to be thankful and I choose to remember what God has done. So I want to take these next 2 months with this series and remind ourselves of that fact, the fact that we are blessed. I am blessed. And some days it's going to be easy. Some days we'll be like, we'll wake up and go, ah, man, I am so blessed, you know. And, oh, boy, things are just wonderful. And then there's going to be times where it's not going to be easy. And we're going to have to kind of make ourselves say, you know what, I am blessed. I am blessed. And be firm about that and remind ourselves how blessed we really are. And no matter what, whether it's easy to say it or it's hard to say it, it's going to be true because we have Jesus Christ. If we have Jesus Christ, we can always say, in the good times and the bad times, I am blessed by God. Because we believe that God is good, and we believe that our life is good because of God, and we believe that it's good for us to be thankful. And you know, God hasn't, he hasn't asked us to go out there and build a booth with three walls and to spend 7 days out there eating our meals. He hasn't asked us to do that. We don't have to live in a tent for a week. But he does want us to build a life around thankfulness and build a life that's full of a recognition of how blessed we are because of God, to appreciate the spiritual blessings, the blessings that cannot be taken away, that don't depend on circumstances, don't depend on our emotions, that don't depend on how our life is, whether it's going up or down. But these blessings that God has given to us that we're going to look at in the weeks to come, build our life based on those, where we can look in any moment of life and say, I know that I am blessed. So let's take that and let's make that the motto of these next 2 months as we enjoy all the parts of Thanksgiving. Let's take this and take this time and say, let's remind ourselves, I am blessed. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you give to us. Lord, you are a good God, and we don't deserve your goodness, and yet you have chosen to be good to us. And Lord, we want to remember that. We want to praise you for all that you've done. We want to be people that are thankful. So Lord, help us to understand as we study your word and even as we live our lives, how blessed we truly are. Lord, may we live with that mindset, that you are good and that we are blessed. So, Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.